Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're continuing our readings from the Tafsir of Juz Amma from the 78th surah through the 114th surah, and we're currently on page 63, and we're going to do two surahs today, the Surah Al-Takathur and the Surah Al-Karakariya. We'll open with the Fatiha and then we'll go into the surahs. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alaminir rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Surah Al-Takathur, 102nd Surah.
Al-Hakumu Takathur Atazur Tumul Makabir Kalla Salfa Taklamun Athuma Kalla Salfa Taklamun Kalla lau taqlamuna ilmal yakin Latarawunna al-bajahin Atumma latarawunna ha Ayna al-yakin Atumma latas'aluna yawma idhin Aninahin.
And Sidi writes about this surah, which has eight ayats. It was revealed in Mecca and consists of eight verses. After Allah mentioned the terrors of the sudden calamity, which is the next surah, He mentioned what distracted the people from preparing for it. He said, Al-Hakumul Takathur Atazur Tumul Makabir, the first and second ayat. Greed for more and more has distracted you to the point of obsession until you visit your graves. Meaning the desire to compete with each other in hoarding more and more goods has distracted you and possessed your minds and hearts until when your time is complete and you become one of the dead. So he expressed their death with the phrase, until you visit the graves, as a way of ridiculing them. And it is said that they used to visit the graves and say, this is the grave of so-and-so, being proud that they weren't in their place. And it is also said that they were distracted in amassing more wealth and children until they died and were buried, losing their lives in the pursuit of the lower world of the dunya, neglecting what is essential and striving towards the hereafter. So visiting the graves became a simile for their death. It's narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read this verse and then said in commentary, the son of Adam says, my wealth, when in fact he owns nothing except the food which he eats and excretes, the clothes he wears and overuses, and the charity he gives away which remains for him. Whatever is other than that, then it is left by him to be taken up by the people. Greed for more and more, takathur, only applies to those things which preoccupy one from Allah. As for striving to amass more and more knowledge, gnosis, good works, and noble traits, then that is what is required, because it brings one to felicity in both domains. So his words has distracted and preoccupied you. Apply only to what makes someone forget the remembrance of Allah in preparing for the hereafter. And if he acquires the things of this world while being conscious of and invoking Allah, then that's not blameworthy, and in that case does not distract one. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, "This world and all that is in it is accursed, except for the invocation of Allah and what is connected to it." Nor did Allah specify exactly what they were distracted from, but he left it general so that it can include all the meanings that can possibly be implied in that phrase. It thus becomes more eloquent in driving home the point. So it can mean that they were distracted from remembering Allah, or reflecting in the affairs of the Day of Judgment, or preparing for it, etc. And know that visiting graves is for the purpose of taking a lesson and remembering death. And for this reason, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "I used to prohibit you from visiting graves, but now I command you to." People used to visit graves for the sake of showing off because of them and decorating them with marble and precious stones to compete with one another. And at that time, the Prophet forbade it in accordance with the meaning of the first verse above. Then he allowed it for the sake of taking a lesson from them. Even so, visiting graves is limited to once a month or so. Know that someone who distracts himself from gaining knowledge by something that brings no benefit will never prosper. In other words, they will not gain outward knowledge, because outward knowledge is different from inward knowledge. Whoever has a certain capacity for knowledge should in the beginning devote himself to gaining whatever Allah wills him to gain of outward knowledge. And then he should busy himself with seeking inward knowledge by mixing and sitting in the company of its people. And those who study this inward knowledge without a knowing shaykh to guide them along will not arrive to Allah. It is rather gained by keeping the company of the folk of Allah and their love. Then Allah deterred against and reproached avariciousness, avaricious greed. So he said, "Kalla salufatahlamun." No, in time you will come to understand. Meaning, the matter is not as you are now upon, nor as you imagine. Your aspirations are confined to this world, and the consequences of that is severe. Soon you will come to know how terrible the consequence is of what you were upon, when you see it for yourselves. And once again, know you will in time come to understand the fourth ayat. This is a repetition to confirm the previous statement and drive home the message. Thumma indicates this, that the second threat is greater than the first. The first occurring in the graves at death, and the second occurring at the day of recompense. Kalla la ta'lamuna ilma yakin. No, if you could understand it with the knowledge born of certainty, meaning with that you had known what is right from before you, if, meaning that you had known what is right before you with the knowledge of certainty, then you would have performed indescribable amounts of acts of worship. So these worship verses are a great threat against those scholars who do not apply in action what they know. It indicates that those who come to have certain knowledge of the danger in having avaricious greed for more and more and seeking elevation over others by what one amasses, that they would abandon this greed. This means that those who do not abandon this consuming greed have not come to realize any certitude. So woe, and again woe, be to the scholar, the person of knowledge, who does not act by what he knows. Latarawunna al-Jahim, the sixth ayat. You will indeed most surely behold the blazing fire. He further intensifies and confirms the threat. Thumma latarawunnahu naha. Most surely in the end you will indeed behold it, the seventh ayat. It could mean a further confirmation of the threat, or it could mean the first applies to those who see the fire from a long distance, and the second applies to those who pass through it. Or the first could apply to the knowledge of the heart, and the second to the knowledge of the eye, which is why He, Most High, then said, Aina yakin, you will behold it with the eye of certainty. Meaning the vision which is the essence of certainty and its result, for the knowledge gained from direct beholding is the highest level of certitude, yakin. Then he said, Athumma la tus'aluna yawma idin anil na'im. The eighth ayat. Then on that day you will surely be called to account for the blessings you enjoyed. This refers to those blessings in which they became distracted from the purpose of their existence and from the religion, the deen, and its demands. These words are directed specifically to those whose aspirations have been wholly devoted to obtaining pleasure, and who live only to eat tasty food and to wear the best clothes, and those who wasted time in empty pursuits, not caring for knowledge or action, nor burdening his ego with the acts of obedience. As for the one who partook of the blessings of Allah and strengthened himself by them, so that he may worship him and be grateful to them, and such a worshiper is unique in this time. It's narrated that there are three blessings Allah will not call the son of Adam to account for or demand his gratitude for. The first one is a house he inhabits. The second one is the food that provides basic nourishment. The third one are the clothes that are sufficient to cover his nakedness from people. So the creations are held into account on the day of resurrection for the blessings Allah gave in this world. And Allah is more aware of their states. So for the ungrateful rejecter of truth, the kafir, he is questioned with derision and contempt for his associating others with Allah, and for lack of faith or gratitude. And as for the believer, he is questioned concerning what gratitude he had for the blessings he received. Therefore, whoever upholds courtesy, adab, in receiving the blessings, by witnessing them as coming from the giver of blessings, and remembers Allah when receiving them or consuming them, and is thankful in their completion, then such a one will not be taken to account. It is this which is referred to by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, this is one of the blessings you will be asked about. And know that greed for more wealth and children and knowledge has distracted you from turning wholly to Allah to obtain the gnosis built on eyewitnessing, until you died in a state of mindless heedlessness. No, you will surely know the consequence of your affair when the people of eyewitnessing will be raised with those brought near, and the groups of the people of secondary proof will remain with the common among the people of the right hand. See Quran 56, 7 through 11. No, would that you had been with the knowledge of certainty, then you would have oriented yourselves to Him in every state. You will most surely behold the blazing fire, the fire of separation. and you will further behold it with the eye of certainty, and then you will be on that day taken to account for the blessings you received. Did you fulfill its requirements to be thankful, or witness the giver and the gift? I beheld in the domain of witnessing Alama Shuhud two aged individuals, and I asked them, what is the reality of gratitude? And one of them answered that Allah not be disobeyed with one of Allah's blessings. So I said, this is the gratitude of the common. What about the gratitude of the elect? And they were silent. So I continued and said, the gratitude of the elect consists in drowning in beholding the giver of blessings. And it is also what you said, because the lack of rebellion through using the blessings is achieved by some of the religious saints, of the righteous saints. I hope from him that he grace us with gratitude, and that he not veil us from witnessing his noble countenance. This is the Surah Kariya, and it's the 101st Surah. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Al-Kariya, Mal-Kariya, Wa Madraka Mal-Kariya, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ كُنُّ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَهْ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Allah said in the previous surah, on that day their Lord was all aware of them. This is in the 100th, he's talking about in the 100th surah, in the verse 11. On that day their Lord was all aware of them. So he will recompense them on the day of recompense, which is the day of sudden calamity, qariya, about which Allah says in the first and second ayah, al-qariya, mal-qariya. Oh, the sudden calamity. What is the sudden calamity? The root word of this literally means a sudden, strong, powerful strike on the door in such a way as to produce a deafening sound. And in this context, it refers to the day of resurrection, the beginning of which is the first blast in the horn, and the end of which is the completion of the judgment and accounting of the creation. It was given such a title because it brings such sudden terror to the hearts and ears with all manners of horrors and awesome manifestations, and there is no doubt that the first sentence above in itself inspires the highest terror in its listeners. It is something unique in its intensity and fright. Third ayat. وَمَا دَرَكَ مَالْكَارِيَا. And what will make you comprehend what the sudden calamity is? In here he reaffirms its terrible gravity by explaining how it is beyond the comprehension of human intellects. And he indicates something about it and says in the fourth ayat, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. It's the day in which people will be like moths swarming in every direction. This example or indication is to magnify the affair of the calamity and a way to incite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek more knowledge about it. It is as if he would say, I mention a day on which people will be like scattered moths in their large numbers and directionless circulation, in incapacity, humiliation, tumultuous chaos, and will flee from one caller to the next like moths do. This is similar in meaning to Allah saying, as if they are locusts scattered of every which way, from the Quran 54:7. The word mabthuth means scattered in disorder. He compared people to moths because on the day of resurrection they, like moths, will scatter without direction into each other, and they will be without any power or ability like moths because of that the intensity of that day. And they, like moths, were named Farash because of their flatness, lightweight, and circulation and flying in the air. All these ideas are found in the root word. Some commentators understood this to be a reference to the kafir, rejecter of truth, because of their moving aimlessly and chaotically in the hellfire, like how moths move in the air. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِنِخْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ The fifth ayat. And the firm mountains will be like fluffy tufts of wool. This picture is similar to the one painted by the verse, Quran 27:88. And you behold the mountains, imagining them to be frozen solid, but yet they are moved as the clouds are dragged in the sky. The above two manifestations are the effect of the sudden calamity which will occur after the second blowing in the horn of Israfil, when the creation will be resurrected. And Allah will change the earth into another form and cause its mountains to move from their resting places in the way He described, to be witnessed by people at the resurrection. Even in, if the earth becomes ripped open and cleft and crushed after the first blowing, the wild motion and eruption of the mountains will occur at the second blowing. As Allah says, and they ask you about the mountains, say, My Lord will scatter them far and wide and leave the earth level and bare. 20:105-6. And on the day when the earth shall be changed to another earth, as shall be the heavens, and they will be marshaled forth before Allah, the One, the Irresistible Subduer, Quran 14:48, following the caller, who is the angel Israfil, the marshaling forth of the creation to Allah Most High, will not occur until after the second blast of the horn. And when he mentioned what will occur to the people in general, he then went on to mention what will happen with each individual. The 6th through 8th ayah. Fa'amma man thalak thakulat mawazinu fahuwa fi ishatir radia wa'amma man khafat mawazinu.
Then he whose weight of good is heavy in the balance, for him shall be a life of contentment and ease. And as for he whose weight of good is light in the balance, the good becomes heavy in the balance by his following the truth. It's a scale with a tongue and two pans on which are placed the records of the deeds of the people to be weighed. The son of Adam will be brought and made to stand before the scale, and his deeds will be weighed. If his good deeds outweigh his bad deeds, his name will be called out, so all will hear it. And it will be said, for such a one is eternal felicity, and he shall never be wretched. And if his deeds outweigh his good deeds, then it will be announced, for such a one is eternal wretchedness, and he shall never have felicity. Good deeds will come in a beautiful form, and bad deeds will come in an ugly form, and they will be placed on the scale and weighed. And if the good deeds are heavier, he will be given the means to cross over hell safely, and enter paradise, and the opposite for the one of bad deeds.
He shall be engulfed by an abyss, the ninth ayat.
Hawiya is one of the titles of the fire, and it is so named because of its abysmal depth and great size, to the extent that the people of the fire will be thrown into it, and they will free fall for 70 years.
Vama daraka mahiya narun hamiya.
10th and 11th ayat. And what will make you understand what it is? It is a fire hotly burning. By these verses, he magnifies the fire in the eyes of the people. He then explains that it is a fire that has reached the limits of intense heat. And know that if the fire and heat of the earth were all combined from its beginning to its end, it would only equal a 70th of the heat of the fire. The sudden calamity, Qariya, also signifies the stupendous and awesome manifestations of the divine essence appearing at the point of entry into the station of annihilation, Fana, because it voids the heart by putting it in bafflement and perplexity and making it wonderstruck and bewildered because of the light of divine greatness. Then he said, the day when people will be like scattered moths, meaning like motes of dust in the air, which if you try to grasp, you will find them to be nothing and will instead find Allah in their nothingness. Put another way, the creation becomes infinitesimal in the sight of the Gnostic knowers, and reverential awe and fear never leave their hearts. The mountains of the intellect become crushed like pieces of wool blown in the air, because they have no constancy under the rising of the blazing light of the divine manifestation. This is because the light of the intellect is weak, like the moon when it appears in the morning. As for those whose scale becomes heavy, because they are pure truth, for nothing except the truth has any real weight on the scale, and the truth does not come to meet the falsehood without obliterating it, such a one will have a full life of contentment and blissful ease, for he entered the garden of experiential knowledge of Allah, and it is the good life. Ayats 6, Surah 16, Ayat 96 and 7. As for those whose scale becomes light by following his desires submissively, then his end will be an endless pit of the fire of separation. He would degenerate in it and merge with it, being burned in it by doubts and illusions and empty recurring thoughts. On the day of resurrection, the ones with heavy scales will have their scales heavy because they followed the truth. And it is the nature of the scale that is not registered, that it not register any weight but the weight of the truth upon it. As for the ones with light scales, their scales are light because they followed falsehood. And it is the nature of the scale that it not record any weight for falsehood. Alhamdulillah, that brings us to the close of those two surahs. Inshallah, we'll pick up their 10th recording with the 100th surah. Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa